Welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast, where frontline sales leaders teach you how to build and scale an outbound sales team. Welcome back to the Predictable Revenue Podcast. I'm your co-host, Colin Stewart. I'm joined, as always, by cardboard cutout Aaron. Say hey, Aaron. Today, we got a bit of a podcast YouTube crossover. We've got Morgan Ingram, or Morgan J. Ingram, as you might know him, from the SDR Chronicles on the podcast. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Colin. Excited to be here.
So today we're talking about foundational structure when reaching out to personas. Talk to me about what that means and why we should be interested.
Yeah, so it really comes down to every single organization has some type of structure for your success. Whether you like it or not, you have that. So when it comes to prospecting and outreach and messaging, sometimes there is no streamlined process. There is no structure for success. So what essentially we're going to talk about today throughout this episode is what are the steps that you need to take to have a foundational structure in order, like every time that you reach out to an account, that prospect sees, okay, this is someone who actually researched on me, profiled me in the right way, so it prompts a response. And so that's what a foundational structure is. It allows for you to plug and play with any rep that you have based on their personality, based on who they are as a person, and see success across the board, and it's scalable as well.
Cool. And so in this model, are you writing out all your personas and doing all this research with the SDRs? Do you deliver it to them? Talk to me about that process.
Yeah, that's a great question. And so for me, and what we've taught, John has even talked about this as well, is having your most senior SDRs and then you as an SDR leader or a sales development director, VP of sales development, sitting down with your reps and then writing out those personas and being like, what are the priorities of the personas? What are objections that you're facing? And why are they, you can even go to customer success if you want to take that extra step. Why are they even buying the solution in the first place? So once you find out that information, you now can have that as a streamlined process for every single rep that enters your organization. This is a question that I got asked and it made me think about it a little bit more. If someone asked, okay, so would you have that same process with a new rep? Would you have them create their own priorities and their day-to-day in the life of the personas that they're reaching out to? And that's a no. I would not have a new rep that's coming in and who does no experience to start writing out all the priorities of someone who I'm reaching out to. That doesn't make sense. So what I would do is I'd give them that baseline that we came up with from the senior SDRs and from us as leadership team to give to that new SDR. And as they evolve, they can add more to what's already there. So it's a continuous development of figuring out what are the priorities, what are the pain points, what are the challenges of this person I'm reaching out to, so that when you reach out to them, you have a triggers that you can articulate to them so that they respond to you.
Gotcha. I'm curious on the new SDR piece, because I've seen some companies use it as, hey, go write these personas as a training onboarding exercise. You got to go do the manual research so that you can... I agree with you that you shouldn't just get your SDRs to write your only personas.
Yeah.
I've seen some. So what does that balance look like for you?
The balance between the quantity and quality perspective?
I think versus onboarding them, like having them do the research as part of the onboarding process versus handing it down. You're delivering fully functional personas.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's great. So I think the big thing is something that I did when I was a manager is I would bring all the new reps into one room and I'd whiteboard everything out. So here are the personas that you're going to go after. Here's the industries that you're going to be looking at. Here's some competitors that we have. Here's our space. This is what's going on. I think every single rep just needs to understand like what's happening. Mm-hmm. And I don't expect a new rep to come in and tell me all the different components of our product and our solution and the personas we're reaching out to. That's a lot to ask. So I don't expect that. Mm-hmm. But what I do expect is someone who's been in the role for maybe 8 to 12 months to be able to do that because they've been reaching out for a while now. So if you're on the front lines and you've been reaching out to these personas, you should pretty much know what objections are coming at you, how to handle them, and you should know what the pain points are and what the priorities are by osmosis of doing the role. So I think I'm going to lean for my senior SDRs to do more research and to figure out what they're doing so that our cadences can be on point where we're reaching out. I don't expect the newer reps to do it. I expect them to just be sponges and learn as much as they can from the reps who are the number one reps and then also from the management team.
Cool. And how much, when you're managing a team or on a team, how much sort of innovation in the personas, in the messaging is coming from higher up versus the people on the front lines?
So when you say higher up, is that like a VP of sales, like a CEO?
It could be anything, anybody that isn't prospecting. So just yes. Director of sales, dev, VP sales, even product, you know, what's the balance of the messaging?
I think it's super important. And it also depends on what persona you're going after. So for example, if you're going after marketers and you have your CMO writing the messages, I think that's highly impactful. I think it's also impactful for you to put your CMO through your cadences and to see how they would respond. Mm-hmm. And just be like, hey, we're trying out a new cadence. You don't get to see it. Just tag it as this, and this is what it's going to look like. Like, let me know your thoughts. And if they like it, then great. If they don't, then they don't. And I think that's a good example. If you're going after CTOs, you'll probably have a CTO you can do the same thing with. If you're going after sales leaders, and you're just use it on your own sales leaders and see what they think. So I think my whole point here is that you need to use messaging within internally to figure out how is someone respond to that. And I think additionally, what we did is, you know, when I was at Terminus is we would go after marketers. So we would have like the CMO or the VP of marketing do like a quick 30-minute training with us, and we would cold call him, and he would come up with objections on how he would handle certain situations if we were calling him and he was a prospect. So I think those are ways to get ahead of that and to practice this persona-based messaging and to make sure that you're being efficient with your time.
Right on. So help me understand, once you've got the job titles,
right?
So let's talk about building these personas a little bit. I'm assuming some of them are going to start with job titles, or they're going to have some job title targets. When you're coming up with these personas, you know, what does it start with? You know, how do you get your first start when you're starting to build these out?
Yeah. So if you are pretty established at this point, maybe you're mid-market or you're a growing SMB, you should know what personas are buying your solution, and you should know who's resonating with your message. So from there, I took the top five that people have bought the JBarrow sales training and made up the Google Doc. Mm-hmm. And then I would go and just Google, be like, what are the priorities for the chief revenue officer? What are the priorities for the VP of sales? And then I found those priorities with the consensus in articles and blogs. And then I wrote that out and fleshed it out on why it's important that we pay attention to these people and reach out to them. So I think the same process can be done for anybody in any organization to figure that out. If you don't know who those personas are, I think that's where it comes back to. You're going to have to do a good amount of A/B testing and messaging to figure out who's responding and who wants to resonate with you. Other than that, if you should already know who they are, and then start mapping out those personas and start figuring out the triggers and events and how people are buying. And I feel like that's the best way to start that messaging process and also understand who are we going after and like who we should be talking to. And additionally, I think leadership needs to be involved in that as well. It's not only up to the reps here, but it's important to give the reps guidance on how to do that and get them involved so they have more hands-on. Because what I've realized from being hands-on and creating those priorities, I'm more confident in my conversations because I know what I'm actually talking about. It's not something that was like, here's homework. It's more so, here's something to do. I'm going to guide you in the process. We have the answers, but figure out the answers yourself so that we can collaborate.
I'm going to work on this together with you.
Exactly.
Here, go do this off on your own. And
exactly.
What you get to doesn't really matter.
Yep.
I love the fact that, you know, we're hearing more and more and more people, SDR teams, talk about, hey, we're putting personas together. You know, a few years ago, this was, you know, there were certain companies that had it, you know, we're getting them from product, we're getting them from marketing. I really like the fact now that we're starting to see this more and more come from sales development. We're starting to see people talking about triggers, talking about those meaningful events. How do you make sure that a team, once you've put together a good set of personas, how do you make sure that they're actually getting used day to day?
That's where you use all the messaging and all the triggers and events that you've created, and you put them inside of some sales and engagement tool. I don't know what that is for you. Obviously, there's sales off, there's outreach, there's Yesware, it's Town App. There's all sorts of cool tools out there you can use. But you want to make sure that once you have those messages, you insert those into those sales engagement tools, and then you create certain cadences or certain sequences to go out to those prospects. So for example, if you're reaching out to IT professionals, director of IT, VP of IT, CTO, CIOs, you're reaching out to those people, you have a cadence for each one of those so that you know your message is going to resonate. That's the best way to segment it. Use templates, use different things of nature like that, but that's exactly what you need to do to be effective.
Gotcha. So you're taking your personas, just so I understand, you take those personas, you build that into messaging for each of those individual personas.
Correct.
How granular are you getting from a like VP of sales, director of sales? Like, would that be a totally different persona, different messaging, different campaign?
Yeah.
How do you see that?
I think it depends on the industry that you're in, because it could be where you're at a very large company. Let's say, for example, like a Sage or a Coke, and you're going after so many different people, or Salesforce, you're going after so many different people that it has to be super granular, where you're like, okay, my division is finance and I'm talking to the VP of finance within the finance districts. And so like my messaging has to be on point because the director of finance and the VP of finance are different. I feel like that's the only time where you have to get that granular. But for probably most people that are listening to this today, they are probably going after a good amount of people, and their roles are, they can kind of be mushed in together. So like a director of sales development, a VP of sales development are essentially have the same roles at the end of the day. It's just, mm-hmm. it's just the title basis and how big the organization is. SDR manager is probably a little bit different, but again, it's the same agenda, same role. I think VP of sales, director of sales, maybe a little bit different, but in most companies, it's pretty much the same thing. So I just base my outreach on, I know that these job titles, like a VP or director of sales, SVP of sales, EVP of sales, RVP of sales, mm-hmm. there's little differences, obviously, because the titles are different, but the whole overview of it is the same. So I treat it as that. I don't get super granular unless someone, again, is at a big organization where you have to go that granular. There's no need to go that deep if you don't have to go that deep.
Gotcha. So it comes down to, you know, if the pain is different, if the triggers are different, then it sort of warrants a different persona.
Right. If you see it subtly in your customer success journey, where those little differences from a director of sales or VP of sales or the VP of marketing and director of marketing are different, then address it. But if it's not, then there's no need to.
Gotcha. I love the sort of efficiency and clarity that this sort of process gives SDRs. Imagine you've seen tons of this, but for those listening that haven't tried this, just try watching, you know, if there's an SDR team you can sit in on and just watch when SDR is going to add somebody new to one of their cadences or sequences or workflows or whatever it is in their engagement tool. Watch as they go and they go to add that individual, you know, when they have a system like Morgan's talking about set up versus when they don't, right? When they do, it's that crisp, clean, boom, you're in the right, you know, sequence. You're getting that, like that personalized messaging. You're in, you're out, you're on to the next one. Versus if it's not set up, you know, is this a general campaign? Is it this industry? Is it that industry?
Right.
There's all these mini decisions that they have to make, and just look at the amount of time it takes them. And maybe they decide, oh, on the fly, we need to recreate, or we don't have a persona for this. So now you've got SDRs that are every single time writing brand new messaging, which is just sort of how productivity spins out of control.
Yep. 100%.
Yeah. So I'm curious here, if an SDR is coming in, you know, and they've got a bit of a playbook in place, do you still get them to go through all of this research, or are they just sort of accepting it as is and going from there?
So they already have a playbook in place.
Yeah.
And you're saying, do they need to recreate the personas again?
No. Would you get them to do some research themselves to gain that familiarity?
I would. I think that if your playbook already has a couple of plays in place, if you have your sequences, you have the things that you want to do, that's great. But I still feel like the SDR needs to give you a little bit of homework or reinforcement to make sure that they understand what they're talking about. Because anybody can be like, go read the playbook, and then they may or may not read it. And then they have gaps in their conversation. They have gaps and they're not confident. That's not going to be good for you at the end of the day. So I think it's important to refresh, of course, or refresh every single rep that's there to be like, hey, like these are the priorities that we're going after. This is the foundational structure. Without this foundational structure, the building can collapse and you can be the great rep that you are. But if you don't know what you're reaching out to and what they care about, it's not going to matter because the noise is starting to amplify daily and daily and daily and daily. So you got to look out for that. I think secondly is a new rep that's coming in. They're going to read a playbook and they actually may be overwhelmed. So that's why it's important to have, hey, this is the personas that we're reaching out to, and this is how you need to talk to them. It gives people confidence to get on the phone and gives people confidence to do emails, because most people, the reason they don't get on the phone, it's a rejection that's part of it, but they also realize that they don't have anything to say in confidence because they're just given a script sometimes and they say, go read that. But that script isn't in their tone, so they're uncomfortable doing that. So it's more comfortable for a rep that maybe wrote out some priorities and looked at some stuff for themselves to be like, oh, that's my message. I'll say that now.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I definitely want to address your shirt at some point, but maybe I can ask you about that next. Because you're talking about process and script and voicemails. How do you come up with, you know, your scripts for voicemails, your emails and script? I imagine if you have these personas, you're trying to get all of these to sort of line up and match up together.
Yeah.
What does your process look like for writing those?
So each persona has its own talk track. So each person that I call, my value prop is a little bit different because their priorities are a little bit different. So that's part of that. And then it's essentially the web talk track. So there's different options, there's different objections that each job title will give me. Over time, I'm gonna know what those are. So when I was previously at Terminus, I pretty much knew what objections I was gonna get from each job persona because I just had talked to so many of them that they were saying essentially the same thing over and over again. So I mapped them out for each job persona. It was like, they gave me this objection, this job persona would give me this objection. So now it's up to me to solve what that's gonna be. And so that's kind of the advice I give to people there is just understanding that you gotta have a web talk track. That web talk track is a foundational structure, but you give multiple options of how to handle an objection. So if someone doesn't like that aggressive way of handling it, maybe there's a softer way of handling it, and that's how that person's gonna move forward with that option. I feel like choosing one option, it makes people force themselves to do it. And that's why people are unsuccessful, because that's not who they are innately. So they don't know how to really go off with that objection handling or go off and say that priority, because that's not how they would say it. So that's why that web talk track is important. That's why having persona pitches for each one is important. And even what we do, John Bears, is that we focus on, hey, look, call an hour of the personas that you're reaching out to. So if you're calling VP of sales in the SaaS industry, make an hour of just calling them so that your message is on point. You can just keep dialing.
Yeah. So that you're not having this context switch between VP of sales, VP of marketing, yeah, VP of ops.
It's like, it doesn't sound bad, but from a mental standpoint, it can be like, okay, what am I actually doing? Mm-hmm.
It's just so easy to just get dialed in and not have to think about it. But if you're calling a different persona every time, I can imagine the just trying to load all that into your brain and, okay, I need to remember this types, you know, I want to personalize this objection specifically for this individual. And that must just simplify it so much better for you.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
So since we're talking about, you know, delivery, yeah, how do you like in this talk trap web of yours, how do you get a little bit more personalized? I don't imagine you're the kind of guy that just takes one template, you write it, you know, in January, you're going to use that template for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
How do you make sure that stays fresh? How do you keep that? How do you personalize that to each of the prospects?
So it comes down to A/B testing. So that's how I keep it fresh. That's how I'm keeping myself engaged. That's how you essentially as an SDR don't lose your mind and jump out a window. Because the thing is, like, the job can become monotonous. You got the same message, the same talk track, you're talking to the same people, same objections. You're like, this is starting, I'm going to lose my mind. So that's why the A/B test comes into play. It allows you to have a different type of talk track. It allows you to have a different type of emails and messaging. Adding in new messaging based on personas that you on the priorities and personas that you already have. So that's what you have to really think about when it comes to not losing your mind and when it comes to finding out new messages to use. And the only way you're going to do that is through A/B testing. Mm-hmm.
Can you give me some examples of some priorities or some things that you've used to sort of like hyper-personalize your emails?
Yeah. So one is hiring SDRs. So from a JBL sales training standpoint, if someone's hiring SDRs, that means they're looking to onboard those SDRs. We help with onboarding training. So if I'll type in hiring SDRs on LinkedIn, I'll click content, and then boom, there's a ton of different things that you can screenshot and add on to someone and be like, hey, I see you're hiring SDRs. I think another one is job postings. Depending on who you're going after or what you're doing, this may or may not be applicable, but I see that they're hiring sales development people, or I see that they're hiring a lot of account executives, or just sales professionals in general. I now have context to be like, hey, I see you're hiring a lot of sales professionals, which can then lead into the event of you need training because you're hiring a ton of people. Another one that I see is if they have if they worked at a previous company that we have done business with, mm-hmm. I'll use that as a trigger and event. Or if I see that they posted that they need, obviously if they need training, then obviously I'll message them there and be like, yo, I saw that you said you need training, let's talk. But those are the things to do. That's how I keep it applicable. And that's how I find my triggers and events. There's also LinkedIn summaries, LinkedIn bios you can look at. There's some nuggets in there. But those are the main things that I use to get in front of people.
Gotcha. And so with your, I love the triggers. I love sort of the listening piece. You know, you're watching LinkedIn, you're watching what they say, you're looking out for their hiring. Those, it's those triggers. It's that context. It just makes your message, your reaching, your reach out, your timing way more relevant. I want to pivot from email. Let's talk a little bit about phone calls. How does Morgan do his phone calls as an SDR?
Yeah. So I got a powerful intro. So my intro is, hey, thanks for taking my call. I'll do you a few moments. The reason I do that is because I'm ambiguous. You don't know who I am. So that's leading you to ask, who are you? No, I don't have a couple of minutes, but like, who are you? So that leads me again, leads to the call. People are like, yes, you know, I have a few moments. Who are you? Or people are like, go ahead and talk. So the thing is, most people don't get too hung up or hesitant when I say like, do you have a few moments? I think I've only had one or two people just straight up hang up on me. But then you can always call back and say, did I get disconnected, and try to have a conversation. It does. I mean, it works sometimes, and sometimes it doesn't. They're like, no, I really meant to hang up. But that, do I have a few moments, is how I handle it. And then from there, if they give me the go ahead, I go into the pitch. From the pitch, it's either going to be, that resonates with me, let's have a conversation, or no, we actually did some training like 3 months ago. And then I'll ask layering questions there to be like, okay, you did a training. Who'd you do it with? How did you do it? What did it entail? And if it didn't, obviously from there, if it didn't entail what I actually train on, then I'm like, actually, great that you have that training, but this is what we do with training. How do you see this moving forward? Can we have a conversation? So my thing is providing a very unique, powerful intro that gets me in the door, and then a value prop that has proven to be effective through case studies that I mentioned, just clients that we have. And then the next is, they're going to ask me, if they ask me a question again, I just get really deep with questioning and then try to move forward to the next step.
Gotcha. How long are your calls as an SDR, those intro calls there?
2, 3, 4, 5 minutes. They're not long. I try to make them super, super fast because we're about to do a 20-30 minute call anyways. So there's no reason for me to hop on for 20 minutes unless you have 20 minutes and you want to have the call right now. That's fine. But again, most of the officers can't run that call. I could run the call because I'm full sales cycle, but some people can't. So I think it's make your call. It's, I think it's a Derek Grant saying, if he's from Sales Off, he's to work at Pardot, be brief, be brilliant, be gone. That's essentially what you want to do. Like, there's, you don't need to hang out for 10 minutes and 20 minutes talking to the prospect. You could have to be in the best time ever, but you're wasting your time, you're wasting money, and you're wasting resources. So schedule a meeting, move on to the next step. 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes is the max I'm trying to talk to someone. And then it's like, hey, look, I got the information I needed, or you're talking about something that we don't even need to talk about right now. So like, I'm gonna schedule this meeting. So you just gotta be very pointed with what you're trying to do.
I don't imagine most people that you're reaching are walking around with 20, 30 minutes in their pocket, just ready to chat.
Super rare. So, I mean, there's always some people who are like, yeah, I can meet in the next 30 minutes. And it's like, yeah, okay. But like, most of the time it's like, I don't have that time at all.
Yeah. So I think one thing we skipped over from, you know, Morgan J. Ingram, the SDR Chronicles, And I want to come to, you know, I don't want to finish on phone yet, but I want to ask you some specific questions about your phone script. And I think we skipped over the fact that, Morgan, you're not a terminus. You're not, you're not just doing the SDR Chronicles. You joined John Barrows and you're working with them. So in that context, let's pretend that you're cold calling me. Can you give me the, instead of like just doing the, hey, everybody, this is what John does. Can you give me the cold call pitch?
Yeah. So from beginning to end, I'd be like, hey, Colin, thanks for taking my call. Do you have a few moments?
Sure. What's up?
Hey, my name is Morgan Ingram from J. Barrows Sales Training. We provide sales training for sales teams. We work with clients such as Salesforce, Google, and LinkedIn. And they're very fast, high-growing SaaS companies. And we do sales training that's focused on techniques and skills. And wanted to see if you have any interest in doing some training this year.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. Tell me more.
Yeah, sounds good. So as it stands today, are you more focused on your prospecting top of the funnel or most of your negotiation and your closers?
Probably top of the funnel.
Okay, so that's great, Colin. So we have a program called Fill in the Funnel. It has 10 modules, goes over the structure of email, structure of phone call, structuring your day. As it stands right now, you mentioned the top of the funnel is something that you want to focus on. What do you feel like is your biggest challenge with your sales development team as it stands today?
I would say, let's call it penetration rates. So they're not booking, you know, the meetings that they need, you know, every month. They're not hitting their quotas.
Okay, great. So we help with that by figuring out the triggers and events to get into those accounts, because there's a lot of noise out there, as you know, and we help make sure that that process is streamlined and they're seeing consistent results. So Colin, I don't want to waste too much of your time. I want to value your time. I can go ahead and set up a call for you sometime next week, maybe Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Does that work for you?
That sounds great.
Sounds good. And then I would I'd confirm email. What's your email? What's your phone number? What's the best way to contact you? Send the calendar invite. And that's normally not, it may not be that easy, but normally yeah. that's how a call would go. And that's how I structure it.
Nice. Yeah. I figured for the sake of this, I didn't want to be throw too many objections here.
Yeah. Yeah.
All of a sudden we turn this 30-minute podcast episode into 45 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
Suffering.
Easily.
Yeah. So that's awesome. And when you get somebody on the phone and you're able to book them like that, fantastic. What happens if you make this call and heaven forbid it goes to voicemail? I know it doesn't happen very often, but sometimes it happens.
Yeah.
What do you do with voicemails?
So yeah, I leave a voicemail, and so sometimes you can't, right? Because sometimes they're like, the voicemail is full, or you call a number and sometimes you don't even know if that's sometimes it's the wrong number, or like they don't announce their name. So sometimes I may not leave a voicemail because I don't know if that's that person's direct dial yet. So I'll call again to confirm.
Yeah.
If I am going to leave this voicemail, which voicemail, again, before I go into that, it's something that you may not see the immediate result, which means that someone's not going to call you back and someone's not going to be like, oh, that was an amazing voicemail, and respond back to through email. It's just another touch point to let people know that you're real and that you're coming for them, essentially.
So it's like an audio billboard. You know, people aren't going to respond to the billboard, but yeah, you're getting that brand exposure, that name exposure.
It's there. So voicemail normally goes, hi, Colin. You know, I talked to a lot of sales leaders like yourself, and a lot of sales leaders that I talked to said they're interested in sales training that provides real techniques and provides skill sets. So we work with clients such as Google, Salesforce, and SalesLoft to provide those consistent results and provide a foundational structure so that they can train their reps to be the best reps that they can be. If that interests you in any way, I would love to have a conversation. My name is Morgan Ingram with JBL Sales Training. Once again, my name is Morgan Ingram with JBL Sales Training. My direct dial is 678-358-8249. So I announce myself towards the end because it provides a curiosity, be like, who the heck is this person leaving a voicemail? Mm-hmm. Because how most people see it, if they just say, hi, my name is Morgan, I'm from JBL Sales Training, that's an automatic delete. Even if I could have said something amazing after that, but yeah, tendencies, you're going to delete it.
Totally. And I think it's the ego approach of it, maybe not even consciously of like, hey, right, I'm going to say who I'm calling because right, I need to say my name. But I love that curiosity piece. So how you're leveraging that to, hey, this is what we do. Because right, the standard sort of script or mental model for how a voicemail should go when I'm listening to my voicemail is, okay, this is who I am. This is my name. This is my company. This is what I'm talking about. But you sort of flip right that on its head and say, hey, I'm going to talk about, you know, what I'm going to get that beautiful piece of content in first, trigger that curiosity, tell you who I am at the end, because it's only the people that listen to the end that really need to know who you are.
Right.
If anybody's hanging up, it doesn't really matter. You know,
exactly.
If they're not listening.
Exactly.
Very cool. What are your thoughts on scripting that? Or not scripting that, sorry. Pre-recorded voicemails. Do you do that or do you customize everyone?
I personally don't do pre-recorded voicemails. I don't have too many thoughts on it because I've never done it before. So I don't want to speak too much on it. And so I don't want to be like, no, don't do them. Mm-hmm. I know that people that do them, they see success. For me, the reason that I do leave that voicemail is because it's just, I'm in the moment and I want to do it and I want to be authentic. And it just allows me to go through my cadence of my voice and to sharpen my skills. That's why I leave the voicemail, because it helps me just get, when I actually get someone live on the phone, mm-hmm, most people freeze up because they haven't talked all day. So they're like, oh, well, I guess we do this. And then you fumble a call and like, you're like, dang, I was only one person I got today. So I personally don't like leaving the automated voicemail because I want to be able to talk before I actually get someone live on the phone. Because if I've left 5 voicemails, then I've trained myself to be prepared for the actual real phone call.
Mm. And you're sitting there worrying, not that us adults are worrying about that, but I remember, you know, when I was first getting into the game, when I was 18, 19, making cold calls, yeah, I'm like, is my voice going to crack? Like,
yeah. Yeah. I sound like a wimp on the phone. Yeah.
Like, hi.
Yeah.
this is Colin. I remember the first guy that was teaching me, like give me advice on cold calls. He always talked about start exhaling like a half second before you start talking. And that would really help sort of power through that. And that, I think that cut my like prepubescent squeaks and voicemails down.
Nice.
Unlike by a long shot, you know, you're getting stuck in phone trees or things like that.
Yeah, for sure. No, that's a great point.
This has been super valuable. I want to thank you for coming on the show. Before we go, I gotta ask, keep dialing t-shirt. Where did that come
from? So this t-shirt was an accident, actually, really, what it was. So I was doing a SDR Chronicle episode, and I think it was like the first or the second one. I was like, all right, guys. And like most YouTubers have like a sign off. I was like, I don't know what I'm going to say. I'm going to say keep dialing. Cause I was like, just keep dialing. Like, that's just something I'll just say. And as it evolved, more people were like, oh yeah, keep dialing. And I was like, what? Like I said it like one time, I really didn't mean anything by it. And then it just evolved into like this thing. And it's like, keep dialing is now this mantra and this like saying that people like will sign off emails to me on and like, will just say to me in passing. And you know, the more I think about it, the more I put way more meaning into it. So for me, keep dialing means obviously make more dials and just make that one last call that you're like, I don't know if I want to do it today. Just make that one last call. Could be something that's beneficial. But I think keep dialing also means like being persistent towards your goals and being persistent towards what you want to become. So that's, hey, you want to be the VP of sales? Like keep dialing. Figure out a way to get in front of those people to become that VP of sales. You want to be the number one rep? Keep dialing away. Start asking questions to top reps. Start asking top reps in other other companies what they're doing to figure out how they're being successful. So keep dialing really just means when you're down and out or you don't think it's going to happen, like just to keep going because there's a possibility that you will get your shot and your chance to make it happen.
Right on. So for the people that are sitting here thinking, Jesus, Morgan Guy knows a ton about sales and sales development, how do they find more content of yours online?
Yeah, so best way to find more content is the SDR Chronicles YouTube and it's a podcast. And then if you have any questions or you want to ask me something, Morgan J. Ingram on LinkedIn.
Beautiful. Thanks for coming on the show, Morgan. This has been great.
Awesome. Thank you, Colin.